Hi, I'm Maryam Williamson, and the tape you're about to hear is a live lecture I gave based on the ideas in a self-study program of spiritual psychotherapy called A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles is not a religion, but a psychological training in the relinquishment of a thought system based on fear and the acceptance instead of a thought system based on love.
Together, we all take a very deep breath. We close our eyes. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger. Until now, it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. We see a garden that surrounds the temple and a body of water that flows through the garden. We see that the inside of the temple is lit by this same beautiful golden light. We're here for we have been drawn together by the power and in the presence of God. We devote our time spent together as well as our relationships to one another, to Him. And we ask that His Holy Spirit, which is within our mind, so guide our thoughts, our feelings, and all of our perceptions, that we might grow to become happier and more peaceful and more loving human beings. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the subject of self-hatred. And when you just yuck about yourself, and you, those situations in your life that have come about because of your own character defects that just make you cringe to think about. You know, so many times there are issues these days where people will say, well, the problem is that you don't love yourself enough. The problem is a lack of self-love. Well, that sounds great, but then you sort of don't know how to love yourself when you hate yourself. And you know, as everything else with the spiritual path, you can't just take pink paint and pour it over your real feelings. That's not what transformation is about. So Course in Miracles has a lot to say on the subject. The Course does say that you are all the being, and that means all of us, because the Course, remember the line in the Bible, there is only one begotten Son. In the Course in Miracles, we're taught that what that means is that there's only one of us here. God only created one of us, and we're all cells in the body of Christ, as it were. We're all like on a diamond, the various facets on a diamond. We are, as the Course in Miracles says, like the waves in an ocean or the sunbeams to the sun. The waves are not separate from one another. They're all part of the same gestalt, and so are you and I. Remember, the Course says that if you go deep enough into who you are and deep enough into who I am, we're not just identical. Deep, deep down, we are the same person. Now, the Course in Miracles says that God created His beloved Son by extending from Himself, because the Course says that God is all there is. So when He creates something, He can't create something other than what He is. That's what it means to say we are extensions of the Father. Father, Son, thought, extension of the thought, cause, effect. It doesn't matter how you language it. The idea here is that all of the attributes of the Father are the attributes within us. The Father is perfect love. That's what God is. The energy, not a thing, but an idea. The Course says God is an idea. And if you have problems with that, it's because you haven't accepted the fact that that's what you are. The Course says we are ideas. We are mental energy. And that mental energy of unconditional love, all that is perfect, all that is infinitely powerful, and all that is eternally innocent, that is the Father. So the Course says that's you and me. Now, what a lot of organized religion has introduced into our thinking is that once we got here, we became miserable sinners. Or some people, some organized religion, another way that that idea is used is the notion that we were miserable sinners from the gate, or maybe we were miserable sinners and that's why we were born. And then some organized religious teachings say, of course, that we, although the Father is perfect, we're miserable sinners, and so God wants to punish us. All right, now what the Course in Miracles says is that we, being of God and having all the attributes of God, remain eternally perfect. The Course says there's absolutely nothing you can do to change your essential being. You happen to be the energy of perfect love. It's like an eternal flame, you know, like Kennedy's grave, which is the eternal flame. And that's a pretty major archetype, the eternal flame, the flame that does not go out. Well, the Course in Miracles says that the primary symbol of that is the flame of God's love, which does not go out inside any human heart. Even the Course in Miracles says, even in someone like a Hitler, the Course says, if you think one person is left out of this, you're not getting the point. What the Course would say about someone like a Hitler, for instance, is that the eternal flame of love cannot be extinguished, period. However, what has happened in a person like that is that it has been so covered over by thoughts that are not loving, and to such an extent that that eternal flame of love has, for all practical purposes, been extinguished. But the Course is even there, it's not totally extinguished. And God's attitude is not that people who do not come from God, i.e. do not come from loving thoughts, are sinners to be punished. The Course in Miracles says that whole notion, although it disguises itself as religious thinking, the Course says that's the ego mind talking, which is the mind opposed to the love of God within us. The Course in Miracles, you know, you might remember that sin is an archery term. It means you missed the mark. So the only real sin is loveless perception. What co-creation with God is, being aligned with God, being one with God, means thinking from love. Now, the Course in Miracles tells us that you and I have love within us, as I just said, all of us do. And that love is the meaning of the psychological term, the Christ mind. Now, Jesus himself teaches us in the Course, he doesn't have anything you and I don't have. It's just that he doesn't have anything else. What that means is that we all have a perfectly loving mind. What you and I have that he and other enlightened masters no longer have are excuses why so-and-so doesn't deserve it. Right? So we come up with reasons not to come from our loving mind. When we are in the state where we are deciding against a loving thought and therefore choosing loveless perception, the Course in Miracles says God does not see that as something bad that he wants to punish. Rather, God sees that as a mistake or an error that he wishes to heal. So what the ego mind does, not only in judging other people, but tonight particularly we want to discuss it in terms of judging ourselves. When we see our mistakes, we do to ourselves what we do to other people. We go into major judgment. And sometimes I think that people on a spiritual path, a so-called spiritual path, and of course we're all on spiritual paths, most people just don't know it, but if you're on a consciously chosen spiritual path, you sometimes go into this notion, which is not of God, which is you've been reading these books long enough, you shouldn't have that problem by now. Right? And the way you do that towards other people also is, well, if they're so spiritual, why do they have that problem? Now, let's look at what's really going on here. We know that Sandra Ray has said, love brings up everything unlike itself. The Course in Miracles says you would not be perfect or you would not be here. That means, what that seems to imply anyway, is that if we were already totally aligned, perfect minds, which absolutely nothing left to work out, we wouldn't have even taken a body. But we are here in a classroom, as it were. And remember what the Course teaches, the notion of growth in the Course is much like the notion of a kind of physical detox. If you go in for a physical detox, stuff that you ate and otherwise digested for the last 25 years comes up, right, in order to be released. Spiritual growth, the transformation of the personality, is the same way. All of our dysfunctions, all of the things in us which are not the coolest, not the best way, don't come from the highest place, those ways that all of us, and the older you get, in a certain way, the worse it gets, the ways in which you have grooves in your personality, which are the way that your personality has just settled into a habitual way of dealing with something that does not come from the highest, does not come from the most magnificent, but by now has become a mental or emotional habit. So when you seek real love in your life, that doesn't mean that those things are going to stop. Quite the opposite. It means you've gone into that detox where the Course in Miracles says those things will actually be aroused. See, the Course in Miracles says that the Holy Spirit does not respect your comfort zones. If anything, he's here to bust your comfort zones. Now think why that would be. Your comfort zones means, if I have a comfort zone, that means here's a box. This box means the territory within which I can behave tranquilly. But if somebody does anything outside that territory, I might freak or otherwise go into malfunction, right? So the Course in Miracles says, why would the Holy Spirit, if you've asked for God in your life, which is the same thing as asking to be made perfect, to be made into that totally loving person? Because you see, to ask for a great life, the real point is that you already have a great life, but you don't see it because your energies obstruct your view of all the love that's available to you. So it's not, dear God, heal my life. It's, dear God, heal me. So the Course in Miracles says, well, now that means that you can be comfortable within this box. So the Holy Spirit, the Course says, will bring into your experience everything outside that box. That's why I always say, once you invite God into your life, everything that could piss you off is on the way. But do you see why it would have to be that way? Because what that means are the situations where you are not yet capable of coming from your most loving and your most forgiving come up in order that, like a detox, the ways that you have developed and that have become those kind of encrusted habits by which you deal with life in a non-functional way come up in order for you to decide, the Course in Miracles says, is this worthy of me? And the Course says that that's the actual meaning of the Last Judgment. Now, you know how a lot of traditional Christian thinking implies that the Last Judgment is when, after you die, God looks at you and he tells you what he thinks of you. The whole concept, you need this, right? When you think that people you don't even know, their opinion matters to you too much, it's really astounding to think what it would feel like to think God might look at you and go, I don't like it. Anyway, the Course says, cold. I have such a thing about people thinking that Jesus, why doesn't Jesus appear in personal form? Can you imagine what it would be like around here if Jesus appeared in personal form? Can you imagine all of us who would be going, oh God, he didn't call. Oh God, he liked her. I saw how he talked to her. He wasn't interested in talking to me. Can you imagine? You have obsessed about far less perfect men in your life. In other words, imagine what you're going to. I think it would be horrible. Anyway, so the Last Judgment, the Course in Miracles says, actually is not at all that old, the notion that the ego thinking says about these theological concepts. The Course in Miracles says that actually, the Last Judgment is a process undertaken by the Sonship, which means the Holy Spirit in conjunction with us, where everything, as I said, within us comes up for review in order that we might judge ourselves. God's not judging, we're judging. Do I want this? Is this the me that I want to be? Now, this is merciful. This is not so then you can hate yourself. You see, now what the ego goes into when you see those places in you that you don't like. What you go into from the ego mind, which is the non-loving mind, is guilt. And the Course in Miracles says guilt, the ego comes up with guilt just so you can stay stuck in the problem. There's no way of staying stuck in a problem like feeling guilty about it. So what the Course in Miracles talks about is the atonement, which is the correction process. The idea of the atonement actually predates Christian thought. The Jews have Yom Kippur, which is the Day of the Atonement. And what the atonement is the correction of our perception. It's the way that the Son of God, who has wandered from home, i.e. wandered from our loving center, makes the march back. And the march back comes from this detox where stuff happens in our lives and we have to face the truth about ourselves. So completely forget the notion that in a place or in a community, in a gestalt or fellowship where everybody's into all the spiritual work, that everybody's going to be in this real, like, perfect place. It means everybody's stuff is coming up, just like a love affair, because that's really what the life with God is a love affair. And just like nobody makes you crazy like someone you're in love with, nothing makes you crazy on a certain level like getting into God. And that's what the Course in Miracles says, that there's a ring of fear we have to go through. Because, see, the Course in Miracles says you hate yourself. That is the condition of the world, because the ego mind tells us we're not who we are. You see, we are this perfect loving being, but we're told all our lives, you're your grades, you are your behavior, you're your mistakes, you're your credentials, you're your last professional success, you're your age, you're your body, you're your money. And it's very difficult to unconditionally love yourself within that. And not only that, who among us hasn't made mistakes? So some people get this notion of loving yourself really confused, and they say, no, I love myself. I didn't make any mistakes. The message of the Course is, look honestly at your life. Of course we've all made mistakes. The point is, it's the function of the Holy Spirit to release us from our errors. Remember, Buddha came before Jesus, and Buddha said that this is a world of suffering. Action, reaction, i.e. karma. You put it out, it comes back to you tenfold. And Jesus came a few hundred years later. He continued the evolution of theological thought and said, yes, but in a moment of forgiveness, all karma is burned. That's the basic notion. In a moment of grace, you are released from this karmic cycle. So you and I go into this major stuff. Oh my God, I did this horrible stuff. Oh my God, I did this horrible stuff. The message of the Course, and this is why in 12 steps you have the process of amends, the process of honestly seeing your character defects. This is why in any serious spiritual path, you look at yourself, not so you can feel guilty about it. Your stuff comes up not so you can feel guilty about it, but so that you can be corrected and you can continue this evolutionary journey of making it to the highest place that you're capable of being. That's why the Course says you're not perfect or you wouldn't be here, but it is your mission to become perfect here. Now, sometimes we talk a lot here. Sometimes people bring up things and we'll say, have you done a page 83? We talk about how, for a lot of us, this is our most well-worn page in the book. And what page 83 is about is those situations like I was talking about at the beginning of the talk of you just did something and you just cringe to think about it. It might have been 10 minutes ago or 10 years ago, right? Now, sometimes you'll go into something where you know you blew it. You know if you had used a different tone on the phone in the conversation, it would have been different. You know if you had made a different decision and gone there instead of there, it would have been different. You can see your own mistake. But then you go into, it's true. If I had been wiser, if I come from a more loving, more wise, magnificent place, it would have been different. But, and this is the ego coming in, it's too late. Well, the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit within us is that the Holy Spirit is the notion of God's internal guide within us. And the place of God is a place beyond the thought system which rules this world. And as Einstein said, time and space are just thoughts we're having. Time and space are the constructs of this thought system. But we can hold to more than this thought system. So the notion of the Holy Spirit is that it's beyond time and space. Therefore, the Holy Spirit can work retroactively. Because the Course in Miracles says that there's only one real time, and that's where linear time as we know it hooks into God's time, which is eternity, and that's in the present moment. Everything's happening in the present. Your past lives and your future lives, if there are such a thing, are happening in this moment. The Course's time is just a thought that we have. So what happens is that a lot of times, and sometimes once again the older we get, we think that we've blown it. Now, this is real important because we're coming into December, coming into Christmas, coming into the New Year's of the 90s. And what the whole theme has got to be, and I don't want to digress too much into it, but this is sort of context for us. This is it, guys. This is it. We're the generation that makes the choice, not our children, because we don't have 15, 18, 20 years to wait. What you and I awaken to in the next 10 years is going to determine what happens on this planet. The scientists say we have a choice, but the greenhouse effect the way it is now, the only argument that the scientists are having right now is the effect of the environmental devastation going to be irreversible in 2004 or 2005? That's the big argument. So this is the kind of urgency that we're talking about. And you're talking about you and I making that, you know, as Einstein said, and some of the heaviest thinkers of the last century and before that have talked about how the only thing that will save the planet at this time is a radical shift in thinking. A radical shift in thinking. Because all of the problems on the planet are just symptoms of the problem. They're symptoms of our thought structure. And our thought structure does not put love first. Every problem in this world, as we say all the time, is because we don't love one another. The only reason that there is a greenhouse effect is because, you know, in a loving world, once we knew that those hydrofluorocarbons or fluorohydrocarbons, I always get it mixed up, whatever those stuff manufactured into the air was dangerous, a truly loving, conscious generation would have stopped manufacturing those things that day. That's it. There is no question. There's no way money would have been put before. Same thing with hunger. All these people, 35,000 a day dying of hunger, but there's no dearth of food on this planet. The problem is not hunger. The problem is that we don't put love for one another and feeding the hungry first. We could go on and on down the list, but we already know if we're even at something like this that the problem in this world is we don't love one another. And we also know it's real difficult to love the world when we hate ourselves. So this issue of understanding love for ourselves is so important. So what happens is that you and I, the way that you and I have got to, because what we've got to do in the 90s is achieve our greatness. You know, the Course in Miracles says no one's special. We're all special and no one's special. We all have a capacity for brilliance. We all have a capacity for, the Course in Miracles says that the talents you now possess are a shadow of what you're capable of, no matter who you are. And what great geniuses like Picasso or Beethoven or Shakespeare, what they've done, remember, is not that they had a genius that you and I don't have. The Course would indicate they accessed a genius, which is potential within us all, right? But you and I, everybody in this room and everyone on this earth, and all you have to do is look at little children to be pretty clear about this, have so much more capacity than we normally think we do. Remember, they say we use about 10% of our brain cells. So we're coming into a time where the important thing is about our achieving our greatness. It's not enough for a few people to achieve their greatness. It's about a rising up of the whole human race. And we can only start with ourselves. But it's real difficult to get to this point to allow yourself to shine when you hate yourself. I mean, how many people in this room can just think in your own mind about times when you didn't go for the greatest? You didn't allow the greatest in your life because you hate yourself. See, if you hate yourself, you know how everybody goes around these days talking about how, well, the problem is you don't think you deserve it. Well, I used to hear people say, you know, the problem, Marian, is you really don't think you deserve it. But that didn't help me. What I didn't help me out of it just to know that. The real point was to know, well, why do I not think I deserve it? And the message of the Course is because you don't realize who you are. No matter what you have done, no matter what you have done, you are the perfect child of God. And that's not only true of you, it's true of everyone. You are just like everyone else. No one is a guilty sinner. No one. And everybody, and if you look at your own life, this is where it's easiest to really see. If you can think of any event in your life where you really messed up, if you're honest with yourself, wouldn't you have done better if you'd known how to get what you wanted in that moment and done it differently? In that moment, wouldn't you have done it better if you had been clear to do that? Of course you would have. So then what happens is that when wonderful things start happening in our lives, but we don't think that we're wonderful people, then when those wonderful things happen in our lives, we don't allow them to blossom. We don't allow them to blossom because wonderful things seem foreign to our system. Just like if I ate a piece of metal, I would immediately, my body would go to throw it up, to regurgitate it because it's foreign to my system. Just like if an organ is transplanted, it might be rejected if it feels foreign. And so if you think that your mistakes make you a bad person, then anything good that happens in your life will feel foreign to your system because you've already judged against yourself. So that means it's not, as we say here all the time, the problem in most of our lives is not that you haven't had opportunities. The problem is that you have blown them. Right? If you're honest, when you really look, for most of us in relationships and job and so many things, yeah, you had the opportunities, but you sabotaged it every time. And that's because of this, you didn't have the context for knowing that you are someone who, it's not who are you to shine, it's who are you not to shine. Because you are not serving this universe by playing small. You are not serving this world right now by playing small. Remember, the Course in Miracles says we have humility humility and arrogance mixed up. We think it's humble to say, well, you know, I'm just this person and I've messed things up and da-da. That's not humble. That's arrogance. And God created you. Yes, you've made mistakes. Is there anybody in this room who's never made mistakes? Is there anybody in this room who doesn't feel guilty about some of the mistakes that we've made or hasn't felt guilty about some of the mistakes that we've made? What the Course in Miracles says is this. When there is something in your life that you are holding on to because it makes you feel guilty, the Course says that you merely go back in your mind and give it over to the Holy Spirit now. Once again, in a moment of grace, the karma has burned. The Course in Miracles says this. Whenever you are not wholly joyous, it is because you have reacted with a lack of love to one of God's creations, i.e., you're feeling guilty. There was something that you did to someone else or to yourself that was not from the highest. Perceiving this as a, quote, sin, you become defensive because you expect attack. The decision to react in this way is yours and can therefore be undone. The process of the atonement is the process of undoing. Remember, as we enter into the 90s, as we enter into our full greatness, it's not about creating your greatness. You're great already. It's not about creating the perfect being within you. You're perfect already. It's about undoing this like paste-up personality that we've taken on that's not even the real us. That's why the spiritual path is not about learning. It's about unlearning. The Course says, the decision to react in this way is yours and can therefore be undone. It cannot be undone by repentance in the usual sense because this implies guilt, i.e., I'm so bad, I'm a miserable sinner. If you allow yourself to feel guilty, you will reinforce the error rather than allow it to be undone for you. So as we go on, think of those things in your life that are either your character, aspects in your character or things you've done, whatever it is in you that you wish wasn't the truth about you, that you know is not the best in you, and maybe it's things in you that you've known needed to be different for a long time, but you just don't seem to get off it. Decision cannot be difficult. This is obvious if you realize that you must already have decided not to be wholly joyous if that is how you feel. Therefore, the first step in the undoing is to recognize that you actively decided wrongly, but can as actively decide otherwise. Once again, like I was saying, the Course in Miracles says, choose again. You were not perfect in that situation. You were not loving in that situation. You hurt somebody's feelings in that situation. It's not going to help God or them or you to go into this I'm so terrible routine. Rather say, you know what? I got it wrong in the past, but the past doesn't really exist. Time is about always starting over. The Holy Spirit works retroactively. I can decide again. Choose once again. It's a major sentence in the Course. Be very firm with yourself in this and keep yourself fully aware that the undoing process, which does not come from you, is nevertheless within you because God placed it there. Your part is merely to return your thinking to the point at which the error was made. So whatever it was in your life, go back to the moment in which you did it. Go back in your thinking to the point at which the error was made and give it over to the atonement in peace. The atonement is this divine alchemical process of undoing your errors. Say this to yourself as sincerely as you can, remembering that the Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation. I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. Remember, the Course in Miracles says, salvation, i.e. being saved from your own negative thinking, is always a matter of mental decision. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. Everybody with me so far in whatever your stuff is? I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. Once again, I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me. And that's it. We go back to that moment, we say, I get it, I didn't let God run the show, i.e., I didn't let the love in me run the show. We can go into all the reasons you didn't, your mother, your father, your past lives, whatever, it so doesn't matter. The point is, that was the point at which you were blocked. It's your wall. You didn't know how to be the best. You go back to that moment and say, it is in that place in my personality I desire to be set free. And that's what it means to atone for. Now, in the Bible and other spiritual scripture, it says, God loves a sinner. Now, what does that mean to say God loves a sinner? You know, when Rajneesh was asked that question, Bhagwan, does the Bible say that God loves a sinner? His answer was, they tend to be more interesting people. What the Course in Miracles does say, which is also in the Bible, is the story of the prodigal son. There's something very interesting here about the places in our personality where we have strayed. This is a major archetype. He's right. You tend to be more interesting people. What does that mean? Well, you know how when you break a bone, the place where that bone heals is then stronger than it was before the break? Have you ever been in a relationship, and I know you have, with someone, a friend or someone, and you fought? And then you got back together and you really made your amends to one another and really apologized to one another and forgave one another. And there is a connection that you have that you didn't have before that argument.
There is something that happens. Remember, the Course in Miracles says, the holiest spot on earth is where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. And when I used to hear that line, the holiest spot on earth is where an ancient hatred becomes a present love, I used to think in terms of relationships between people. Or I would think how great it will be where an ancient hatred in Ireland or Israel becomes a present love. An ancient hatred becoming a present love can also be inside yourself. No holier spot on earth than where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. There is nothing like the personality which is atoned. You know, it's like often people feel, and understandably, oh, people who are, you know, recovering alcoholics, people in program, etc., my favorite people because they went to hell and back. Well, what makes them interesting? Not that they went to hell, but that they came back. While they're still in hell, they are some of the most boring people, right? But people who have gone to hell and come back, there's assault. And that's why this generation, remember we discussed this here, when I first realized at the depth of my being that it's up to this generation, this is it, to save this world, to make the decisions that will save this world, I was so depressed. I thought, oh my God, I know these people. I'm one of them. This is not good. This is not good. Because we have been the most self-indulgent, probably the most spoiled generation, at least in talking about our culture. And yet, the truth of the matter is, the very things which have been our self-indulgences, look at something like drugs and alcohol. Look how drugs and alcohol, for so many people in this culture, has been the doorway to a real church experience. Because the 12 steps are like probably the first indigenous American church, truly church, church in the real sense of the word. So sometimes it's our digressions, it's our transgressions, it's the places in us which have the most strayed from the greatest self-love and the greatest love of other people, which have then become the places where we are the most healed. And that's because when we gave our lives to God and asked Him to free Him from our error, and that's not the way God works. The prodigal son, the son who strayed, when he comes home, the father is so glad to see him. And the other son said to the father, well, why aren't you so glad to see us? And he says, because you never left. There's a power, which actually doesn't sound so great, but it's in the Bible, it's in the Course, and psychologically it makes sense. There is something about going away and coming back. Not doing something, by the way. You know, a lot of times we would say, our mothers told us to do something. And so, just simply because my mother said to do it, you do the opposite. Right? I mean, if somebody said no, you figured there was some lascivious pleasure back there, and they just didn't want you to have it. Right? So you would go into every door marked no by conventional standards. But you go through enough of those doors, and you decide not to go through them anymore. Not because mommy told you not to, but because you've been to those hotels, and it didn't work. You went through those doors, and you've decided through your own experience. Do you know how much value there is in that? Do you know how much value there is in the parts in your personality where there's certain places you don't go anymore because you choose not to? Because you've gotten over it. You know what? There's nothing that can be more contributive to big people. So it's important, I think, that we actually honor our errors and to honor the things in your life that come up that point them to you. Point them out to you, but to know in those situations and those times where you're feeling so guilty and you're feeling that you've messed up in your life, there is no such thing as having messed up too much in your life. We need everybody here and everybody in this world to really get that there is nothing humble about thinking you're less than great. It's like when Carl Rogers said to his students, how many of you here are the great psychiatrists of your generation? And nobody raised their hand. And he said, how many of you are the great theoreticians of your generation? Nobody raised their hand. He said, how many of you are the great artists of your generation? Nobody raised their hand. He said, if not you, then who? There's nothing humble about that. What's humble is to say, of ourselves, we're nothing. But as vehicles for a power greater than ourselves, all of us have the same capacity. We're just vases. It doesn't matter the shape of the vase or the form of the vase. What matters is the flowers that go into the vase and the water that comes through the vehicle. But our self-hatred keeps us from owning that that power can be used. And if you think that because of your errors, God wouldn't want to use you, it's quite the opposite. And in that, it's wonderful to read the stories of the great saints. To read the story, I mean, the idea, you know, once again, we have these notions of the saints and in all the religions as being people who just, you know, came out great. Often they were people just like you and me. People who we feel that certain ways in our lives we haven't been the highest. But know that there's some way in which we can be used now. You don't say, I'm going to make myself perfect and then say, God, use me. It's not like that. God is the process by which we become perfect, but religion has set it up so we're afraid to show ourselves to God because we're not perfect. He says to the Course, don't try to purify yourself before coming to me. I am the purifier. So the point is for you and me to give ourselves to God exactly as we are. Dear God, I'm metal. I'm not gold. But if you can use this, do so. It's not like you get it all together and then give your life to God. What does that mean? Giving your life to God just means giving your life to that alchemical process by which you become the powerful force of love that you're capable of being, and those doors of love open the doors of all your talent, all your greatness, all your brilliance, all your charisma, all your intelligence, all your everything. It's all just in their brain cells waiting to pop open. And what we say is, God, if you can use me. And then remember that line. It's in the Bible. It's also in the Course. It's a traditional Christian concept, actually, called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit means you don't wait for all your talent to get together and then you give your life to God. You give your life to God and all of a sudden your life starts falling together. All of a sudden, certain talents are there. Not that they weren't there before, but you had blocks to the expression of them. All of a sudden, you start seeing just how beautiful you are. But if you've already decided against seeing how beautiful you are, this doesn't work. It doesn't work for God. It doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve the people you've transgressed against. And it doesn't serve anything in this universe. And then, when you do something like page 83, and you are willing to atone for your errors, and you are willing to take a good look at the mistakes in your personality, and hopefully knowing, remember, that anytime you see somebody else, in terms of judging other people, anytime you see other people who are not the highest within them, the issue is never, you know, as they say in all spiritual programs, you don't focus on another person's lessons, you focus on your own. And if somebody is not the highest around you, the issue is not what is their lesson, the issue is what is your lesson, and in that case, your lesson am I? Or how tolerant am I? How patient am I? Right? So it's always, what is my lesson? And when you see what those errors are in yourself, don't think that that means you're not spiritual. That means you're very much on the spiritual path. This is the elbow grease. This is the dirt under the fingernails of spiritual renewal. That all that stuff is coming up in order that you might get rid of it, that you might release it. And there is no lost time. I've mentioned here before, and I know I'm not the only person in this room who's felt that. You know, I felt like there was a whole sort of decade that I sat it out, you know, in this life. And it was very interesting because I saw so many people who in so many ways in their lives tended to be going on this upward swing. And I didn't. You know, I just kept myself down in every way, it seems. I mean, that's your sort of major sort of experience of yourself. Once I got it on some level, I just took an immediate vertical ascent and I caught up with where I used to be or would have been had I done it the other way. Once you allow love in your life, it has a radical effect, a radical curative. So there's no way, you know, we've mentioned here before, no one can counsel a recovering addict like a recovering addict. Your mistakes in your life are actually used. You have compassion in an area where you've messed up. You have a lack of judgment in those areas, or you should once you've cleared it. See, if you still feel guilty about something, then you're more judgmental about people still stuck in that error. But once you have forgiven yourself, once you have given this over to the atonement and asked to be healed, then when you see other people in that same place, then you really feel moved to love them, not to judge them, but to love them as you feel that God has loved you. So this is an important healing, an important cleansing when your stuff is made so clear to you, whatever it is. And what I'd like to do is end with a prayer in which these things in our life that are sitting on us, these things in your personality, these things that you've done in your life, whatever it is, you feel like your father died and you never told him how much you loved him. Sometimes you feel, well, it's too late, she doesn't understand, that person died. No one died, remember, because the message of the Course is that the body died, but they didn't die. The body is just a suit of clothes and they can hear you now. There is absolutely no error that you have ever made in your whole life. There's absolutely no place you're thinking, well, I could never make it now because I didn't go for my education when I should have, and now I can never do it. Whatever it is in your life that you regret or that you don't like. Is there anybody who can't think of anything? All right. Then we're going to go into this prayer together, and we're going to ask that the Holy Spirit do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, that we be given through the act of grace, through God's divine action, the experience of divine forgiveness. You know, there's a place in the Bible where he talks about how, you know, we got it wrong, we're contentious people. And then he says something so incredible. He says, I'm going to let you gnash your teeth for 3 days. There's a lot of gnashing of teeth in the Bible for whatever reason. But the older you get, the more you relate to the concept, you know. So he says, you're going to gnash your teeth for 3 days. And then he says something extraordinary. God says, I'm not like you. I could never totally turn my face away from the child of my womb. So after 3 days of letting you feel this, i.e. conscience, that's the meaning of conscience, because the Course says discomfort will be temporarily aroused. What that means is that when you've messed up, you'll feel it. But after a while, going on into the guilt does not help. After 3 days, symbolically 3 days, God says, I will turn my face back to you. And then for my sake, I will lift you up even higher than you were before you left me. And that's what we want to remember, that we will actually, through the divine acts of God's grace, be lifted higher than we were before. All he asks is that we be aware, that we be willing to atone, that we be willing to make amends, that we be willing to walk not as we walked before, that we be willing to teach, i.e. demonstrate with our own behavior, the vibrations of a person who has learned better. I've been taught this notion of a judgmental God, and the Course says we've just projected that onto God because we're so judgmental. God doesn't think that way. God is incapable of that. His only notion to us as we bring him tonight, those things within us which are not the best, is that he's so glad that we finally came to talk about this to him inside our hearts, because now the work can be done of freeing us from our errors. Does that make sense to everybody, at least intellectually? Okay, then let's do it. If you want to, take the hand of the person who is next to you. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light, and we watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. And with the power of our shared thinking, we invite our dearly beloved elder brother to enter into this sacred space within our minds with us. To some of us here, he appears as Jesus. And now, as we stand before the Holy Spirit in whatever form feels right for us, we call to mind the things in our lives, in our past, in our history, in our personality, whatever it is, we wish we hadn't done or been, that we wish was not the way we are now. And without censor or judgment, we now allow our minds to focus on these things and gently and in peace deliver them now into the hands of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, if we could do these things over, we would. If we could be different, if we could make ourselves different, we would have done that by now. We ask your help that we be freed from the karmic pattern constantly generated by our own lovelessness. In the places in the past, we go back to those moments, we deliver them into your hands. We know that you are the principle of total, infinite, divine healing and correction. We needn't feel guilty about those things. We know that you will heal them and correct them now and undo all consequences of our wrong decision if we will let you. We are willing to do as you guide us within to do. If any particular behavior is needed on the earth plane to carry out the amends. In terms of our personality, we ask you, dear God, to heal us of those places within us we know we'd be better off without. We look at them honestly in this moment. We do not avoid looking at them. We're honest with ourselves. We don't go into why they're there or any of that stuff. We just see it for what it is, and we ask that you shed your light on this darkness within. You are the divine physician who heals us, and we ask that we and every area of our lives be healed, that we might in this moment feel made new, that our lives at this time might begin again. We feel the divine action of the Holy Spirit at work within us, the divine alchemy by which we are transformed from arrogant to humble, from violent to peaceful, from despairing to happy, from fearful to loving, from weak to strong. Dear God, please make us new men and new women from whom there shall be born. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.